And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. It's a fabulous Saturday here on the Central Coast. Sunny skies, it's tweaking into a range I don't like much as far as warmth. I prefer it in the 60s, but then again, I'm from Phoenix, where we had hundreds, and so I'll take 60s and 50s any day of the week. It's a beautiful day nonetheless, and actually, this is the eve of an opportunity that I have kind of been looking forward to. I am actually going on my very first fishing trip. I'm actually going on my very first trip where I'll actually be fishing for the first time. So I'm going with a good friend of mine as well, and we're going to spend some time out on the open waters, as it were, with a bunch of other people as well, and just having a great time. So I'll have a little bit to report to you in the coming weeks. So I encourage you to be listening for that interesting adventure, and I certainly hope that there is no part of that story that includes me falling overboard. But nonetheless, it's going to be a good time had by all. We are here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we are streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com, where you can also hear the archives of these programs at that same location at the archives page or the radio shows page, richarddugan.com/radio shows page. And you can also, should you be so inclined, if you typed in richarddugan.com/bear, B-E-A-R, and richarddugan.com/sand, you will see a bear that has visited our property over the last year or so where we live. And you'll also see under sand, you will see a creation that I and some dear friends of mine made last year at the Sandcastle Festival here in Santa Barbara, California. We're going to participate in that again this year. I don't know what we're going to build, but it's going to be interesting now that we have a greater grasp on the tools. We have knowledge of the tools that we can bring and what we can do with them, so we're going to create bigger and better and grander. And that's part of what this program is about. Once you understand your paradigms, your belief systems, and you start hearing about new ways of doing things, it's incredible the things that you can create. And we're in the same vein talking with our guest today, the author of The Seven Letters That Saved My Life, triple transplant recipient and transplant Olympian, gold medalist indeed, Dottie Lessard. And it's a pleasure to have you on our program today.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's a pleasure to be here.
You have written a book. You are in the process of engaging on a new entrepreneurial venture. You are a mother. You are a gold medalist in the Transplant Olympic Games over the course of, I guess, six turns through the turnstile at the Transplant Olympics. And having a great time at life.
Yes, indeed. Having a great time at life and very, very blessed to be here.
Let's start at the beginning, of course, and find out what precipitated the need for this triple transplant.
Okay, well, I was born in 1966 and diagnosed at 6 weeks of age with cystic fibrosis. And I was fairly healthy growing up until about the age of 14 when my lungs started feeling the effects of cystic fibrosis, and that includes infection in the lungs, which turns into scarring of the lungs. And my desire was always to be an athlete, so I always was active and tried to stay fit. But slowly the disease started progressing at age 14, and by age 25, I had about 15% of one lung I was functioning on and 20% of the other lung. So it was to a point where CF was trying to run my life, and I really didn't have a lot of control there. So it was at that time that I knew that I needed to either get on an organ transplant list or kind of face the same kind of outcome that I've seen a lot of my friends face.
And yet, are there not enough organs to go around, as it were? I mean, people are passing on, unfortunately, at alarming rates across this country, let alone around the world. Are there not enough transplant organs available?
Unfortunately, I think there's always more of a need for organs, and the need for people that are needing organs are coming along too. So No, and I think that, you know, there's a fine line when you get on the list. You can't be too healthy and you can't be too sick because, again, it's based on the need and the shortage of organs that are out there. So I always tell people, you know, it's a personal choice to be an organ donor, and they certainly have their own right to that. I just ask for people to become educated and aware of what does happen and then make the choice after they're educated.
Well, I can tell our listeners that on my driver's license, I am an organ donor. That's assuming they can use what I've got left.
I think they can. That's awesome.
All said and done. That's a subject in and of itself, the issue of organ transplants, being an organ donor. And I'm assuming that you can, as an organ donor, specify which organs you are willing to donate and those that you're not?
You absolutely can. You can definitely decide all of that. And the best thing is to talk to a family member so that they know your wishes also. But you can find any of that information out at your local registry, or you can go on UNOS, which is UNOS, and you can find out all that. You can Google organ donation information about it. There's a lot of information out there, and, you know, again, it's a personal decision, but being educated and making that informed decision is really, really a good, good choice.
So as we get into this program, we're also going to talk about your book, The 7 Letters That Saved My Life, and find out what those letters are and what kind of an impact that they had. As we continue talking with Dottie Lessard, again, the author of The 7 Letters That Saved My Life, I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay right where you are.
You have a message that others can benefit from, a meditation to share, a talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Tucked away at 7 East Annapamoo, behind Sullivan Gosson American Gallery, just across the street from the Art Museum, the delightful Arts and Letters Cafe, Santa Barbara's most romantic restaurant, is now serving dinner in addition to its famous lunch menu. That's right. Now you can enjoy a la carte service and a full bar for dinner Wednesdays through Sundays in the secluded and enchanting privacy of the garden courtyard at the Arts and Letters Cafe, where Chef Cosmo Goss prepares fine California cuisine with an emphasis on fresh local seafood. Or for diners who want to enjoy the street scene in Santa Barbara's historic arts district, the Arts and Letters Cafe offers front porch dining with happy hour bar service and light fare. That's the Arts and Letters Cafe at 7 East Annapamoo, where great food and great art combine for a wonderful dining experience for lunch and dinner.
Tell me your story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us. We're talking today with Dottie Lessard, author of The 7 Letters That Saved My Life. And also we're talking about the transplants that she has received. We're talking a little bit about being an organ donor, and I am one. Now everybody, see, now Dottie, everybody knows I'm an organ donor. Now, do I really have to talk to any of my family and friends now? Do I really?
Yeah, you really do. You need to talk to the person that's going to make that decision when you can.
Well, so. And that person knows and is certainly going to carry that out. I'm wondering, now I asked you before if there were enough organs to go around, i.e. that also implies the number of donors. What is your perspective, taking this to another level, on the issue of trying to, I don't know, set up some type of a farm for organs? I mean, i.e. stem cells or some other biological format that will generate new organs for people. Any perspective on that kind of technology?
You know, I kind of give that to the professionals, but I think that if there's a way we can do it that's agreeable to human nature and the right thing to do, I think that it's definitely something that I would be willing to hear and listen, because there are people dying every day that do need that gift of life. So
yeah, and many of them still have so much more to give. They have these dreams.
Absolutely.
And desires, and unfortunately they happen to have been born with or injured by what have you. Now they have certain organs that are vital for life. And in order to complete those dreams and aspirations, they need that help. Are you aware of anyone, and this will be the last question on this subject, who has actually been willing to donate certain organs that would cost them their life? Is that something that is legally allowed?
No, I wouldn't say that would be legally allowed, because really one of the main things with organ donation is that the donor is protected first and foremost. So anything that would be chancy, like there's a lot of people that wanted to donate a kidney for me when I was sick with the kidney disease. However, they just didn't fit the mm-hmm. needs of the, you know, the health and all that. So they're very, very careful about donors and living donors, of course.
So in other words, even though they might be a match genetically, if you will, or whatever
right.
the parameters are, if they aren't in good health, they can't be a donor.
Absolutely.
At that time.
That's okay. Right, because we never want to put the donor's life in jeopardy. Of course, there are always things that can happen that aren't foreseen, but they really have to be in good health to be a donor.
Okay, so if you want to be a donor, like me, now I'm talking to myself.
Take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself. Don't fall off that fishing boat. And
yeah, don't be any bait.
Don't be bait for other fish.
No.
Let me ask you about this book, the seven letters that saved my life. Seven. Why seven?
Well, seven has always been a lucky number, a special number. And when I was thinking about the title for this book, you know, the main word that came up was athlete. And we countered the letters, athlete, seven.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of a perfect fit, something that was meant to be.
So give us the breakdown of those letters as they apply to these, and obviously as an athlete, which you are, which is part of the process of keeping yourself healthy and well. Tell us about that acronym.
So that my seven letters, which are athlete, is A, aspire to a purpose. T, tackle your fears and move forward. H, harmony on the inside creates results on the outside. L, live an extraordinary life for yourself. E, enrich your life by appreciating your own unique gifts. T, trust in a higher power. And E, encourage yourself and others to do great things.
Now, when you are in the process of running and practicing and training for these games that you've participated in the last 6 years or six times, as I said, through the turnstile, as it were.
Right.
Was there ever a moment, or has there been a moment in that training when you thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this because, you know, someone has given me these wonderful gifts of the lungs and the kidney and so forth, and if I overdo it and stress, I could end up hurting myself, injuring myself, damaging these items, if you will.
Right.
In other words, not showing the proper respect.
Right. I can say that with my training, I would say no, because I've always been cautious, and that's one thing that I've always done is respect what I've been given. So in terms of overtraining or things like that, I've always had the responsibility to be as knowledgeable as I can on what I'm doing and making sure that it is within a level of safety. And I truly believe that exercising, training, exerting yourself to a certain level is celebrating the gifts that you've been giving for everyone. So I'm always respectable in with that, being knowledgeable of what my limitations are when I do have some.
And you have been dealing with all of this, obviously, since basically 6 months of age. So this is nothing. This is nothing new. There wasn't this point, like in a lot of people's lives, where this happened and boom, I was over on this side of the aisle. And before I was over the other side, this is all you've known.
Exactly. This really, truly is all I've known. I've been taking about 32 pills when I was about 2 years old. My parents would mash them up in applesauce and all that. I always knew that I had this thing called cystic fibrosis and that I was different. But I feel like I've been blessed because I've had it my whole life. I know nothing else but to fight and overcome challenges and obstacles in my life. And I think that that's made me appreciate things more and also want things more. So, yeah, I've really known nothing else.
And having known nothing else other than this way of life from, again, almost from birth, how do you think that has prepared you for the work that you are doing today with and for others?
Well, I think that I've learned things that you can't learn in a textbook, on a TV show, or anything like that, or in a school. I think that I've learned things out of necessity, and learned things, found a way to make a way, or found a way to adapt when I truly had no other choice. So I think that those lessons I've learned were ingrained in me, and I really got to experience how those lessons did make me better, or my actions did help. So when you come from a place of raw emotion and a place of truly having it save your life, I think that comes through in what I do and how I want to touch people and help them do the same for.
Have you always wanted to do that for people? Touch them and change their lives?
Yeah, I really have.
Even during the heart of your condition where you were seeking out and hopefully you were going to get those two lungs and that kidney?
Actually, when I was at the sickest, I was writing an exercise column for our transplant newsletter and talking to other people so that have had transplants that were living and breathing, and I was still waiting. I think it makes me a better person. I think it's what fuels me and gives me a reason to do the things that I want to do, but also to say thank you to so many, to the medical professionals, to God, to my donors, to the people that have raised me, my family, my friends, and to honor what I have now, my legacy, my son. So, yeah, I think it's the greatest gift someone can have is to have that feeling of giving back to others.
By the way, you got a cute kid there.
I do have a cute kid. Thank you very much.
If you've been to her website, you will see a picture of her sitting there with her little son, and he's just adorable.
He is the reason why I am here. I truly believe that. He is my ultimate gift. So seeing him, he's going to start first grade in less than a month. So,
oh, boy.
Yes, he is really growing up, and yes. So
how have you changed over the time in terms of your awareness and understanding of not only the world around you, but even the world you can't see, your spirituality, your paradigms, if you will, your belief system, what you have faith in?
I think that I've learned to listen more. I think I've become more open. And I guess through the challenges that I've faced, I've seen experiences firsthand that have caused me to realize that there is a higher power, in my case, God, and that I can't run the show. I mean, I could wake up tomorrow with an infection, and, you know, my whole schedule for the week is gone, because mm-hmm. I need to do what's most important, and that is take care of what's going on in my body. Mm-hmm. That could mean going into the hospital for 2 weeks. That could mean, you know, being at home but having to rest or do whatever the doctor says. So, you know, to let go and let God is something that's very, very powerful for me. And I still work at it. I mean, I still want to be in control a lot of the time, but I've learned that I can't be. I can, you know, and strengthen what I can control, but I need to let go of the things that I can't. And a lot of that all wraps up into having faith.
And your faith?
My faith is that there is a God, and I believe that anything is possible if we believe.
Hmm. And that's what we talk about here when it comes to giving people choices and knowledge of those choices. I firmly believe that if you don't know there is a third, fourth, fifth alternative, well, guess what? Then you're not going to pursue it. Ergo, you know, that's just the way that it is.
Right, and I always, and I say this in my book too, I always kind of say that having faith, and I don't push my beliefs or anything on anyone else. Mm-hmm. I always say whatever you want to believe in, but I believe that it's kind of like the life preserver when you're in an ocean, right, or if you're falling, it's that one branch that's sticking out that you can hold on to.
Hmm. I would take it that you've been asked to speak at a number of different places around the country, if not around the world.
I have, and I enjoy very much speaking. I think it's something that I always can become better at, and I've started to do that. I love to speak to audiences and see reactions out in the crowd. What I love to do the most is to be able to be down there with the people and be able to touch the people and talk to them firsthand.
Well, we are most appreciative of the fact that you have joined us here on the program today to share your story and your experiences regarding the transplants that you've received and the people that you interact with, both at the Transplant Olympic Games and in the hospitals and clinics and so forth. And we're going to talk more about that as we continue. So we look forward to hearing more from Dottie as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Right now we're going to go to our... I was thinking about this a while ago, Beth, trying to figure out whether I should refer you to you as our astronomical assignment editor.
That's brilliant. I can live with that.
You can live with that. But
yeah,
you're here to give us, on the one hand, it's not so cheery news from an astrological standpoint. And again, we are talking about the Western astrological standpoint.
Yes.
That Mercury has been in retrograde now for about 24 hours and will be there for probably another 14 to 18 days to the 12th of September.
Yes.
Ouch. Yes. Tell us what's, and it's in an interesting period. I want to say Virgo, but I don't think that's right.
It's totally in Virgo.
Oh, it is in Virgo. Okay, I was right. I thought I read your newsletter correctly.
Yeah.
Because the last time we talked, we were talking about the eclipses, both the solar and lunar, that were fascinating.
Yes.
And during the period of those eclipses, between the two, there was, as you described it, there was going to be this aha period where
yes,
we would understand certain things. Oh, I get it now, whatever it was that we were trying to get. Why are Mercury in retrograde periods so much of a struggle? I mean, I was noticing even yesterday that we had this little fire up on the hill. We had some computer problems, minor little things. I mean, they were just little things, but still.
Right.
And it was only the first day.
It's day one. Yeah, you can feel it coming on. You can see it. You know, when you start to really awaken and deepen your connection to God and the forces of the universe, you really can feel it. You can see it just when you get in your car and pull out of the driveway. And I think the reason these kinds of transits are so difficult for us is because we're human, and it really does take us out of the driver's seat, so to speak. It really slows us down or asks us to slow down and be more awake and alive and tuned in and connected and step back from the material plane and really revisit and reevaluate your own paradigms.
So,
and so, you know, a show like yours right now during the retrograde is perfect, especially in Virgo, and especially having such a great guest, such an inspirational guest like Dottie on right now because of her message of strength and hope around health, because that is one of the realms that Virgo rules is health.
Well, now, you said that partly this has to do with the fact that we're human. So if I is there a way for me to protect myself from this, like becoming another species?
I don't have the answer to that one. If I did, I would be I would have a very different career.
Okay.
Yeah,
but are there things that we can do aside from just staying more aware of our surroundings and what we're doing and what's around us? Are there any other things that we can do to, I don't want to say, protect ourselves or guard against calamities and so forth?
Yeah, I really don't like to take a defensive or recommend defensive postures because
okay.
that fuels fear.
Okay.
And fear is a paradigm we're all trying to let go of.
All right, very good point.
Yeah. For me, it's really about making time for the things that matter. And during a retrograde, the only two things that really matter are your spirituality and your creativity and your connection to the people that matter the most to you. The best thing you can do is kind of step away from your material goals and ambitions. You know, let go of the career for 13, 14, 15, 21 days, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, and I'm not saying stop going to work, but
right.
I am saying, you know, just trust God a little more and maybe do a little less. You know, there's an adage in metaphysics about the more you do on the inside, the less you have to do on the outside.
Yeah.
And that's where you stand during these retrogrades.
I think that one of Dottie's precepts of the seven letters
dealt
with that exactly. And I think we'll go back to her in just a moment.
Excellent.
If folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
I am at, locally, 805-963-0842, and my website is BethMcDonaldConsulting.com.
And you're going to be coming on in the month of November as one of our guests during the month, who is going to be taking readings from the folks here in Santa Barbara and across the country and around the world.
Yes, right. And I'm looking forward to it. I am honored once again. Thank you, Richard,
for
having me on, and thank you, Dottie, for your message of hope.
Okay. Well, thank you, Beth, and we'll be talking with you very soon.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. And this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And Dottie, that is one of your precepts in terms of focusing on making the changes on the inside. We'll make changes on the outside.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes, it's absolutely true.
And I also
and you
like
you can do so much.
Yeah, I like what Beth said too in terms of the focus. You know, I'm sitting here going, okay, how do we protect ourselves? Well, you go on the defensive, and it just generates, as you said, more fear. Whereas if you focus on again the creativity, you focus on your inner life, if you will, you focus on those things that have the most meaning for you. You're not generating fear. You're sort of in the you're promoting yourself, if you will. Within yourself. And again, as you stated in one of those aphorisms from the ATHLETE acronym working on the inside helps to build on the outside. It's interesting to note that you have been basically running for years. Is running for you, does it just come naturally? Is it a metaphor for something else in your life?
Well, it absolutely does not come naturally, not in the terms of being genetically an athlete. I think it comes naturally from my soul and from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that what happened was I connected being an athlete and running with strength. And I knew, even at a young age, that I needed strength to survive. So at first grade, in the picture on my book is a fence, and that has a very important meaning. In first grade, I used to race all the boys to the back of our fence at school, and it was about 80 meters. And I loved the feeling of being free. And a lot of those days, I would win those races. And I would live for that moment. And it felt like I was fighting back against everything that people were putting on me at that time, even at first grade. Second grade came, I would still do the races. by third grade, I had noticed I was slowing down and being more out of breath. And so the middle of third grade, it had gotten so bad that I wasn't trying to win the race. I was just trying to make it to that fence. And grasping onto that fence with shortness of breath, and I would have such headaches after that, I finally had to stop those races. I never stopped playing. I would figure out a way to stay in the game, whether it was, you know, jump rope or taking breaks or being a great free shot thrower on the basketball court so I didn't have to run down the court. But I never truly forget how it felt to run. And so I held on to that, and I think that's what fueled me for all those years. And I truly ran for the very first time at age 28, 6 months after my lung transplant.
Wow.
Now, so is that, is I that, wasn't a runner, yeah.
Is that timetable pretty normal as far as being able to get out and really exert yourself following a lung transplant?
You know, it varies. And again, this was probably, I say, 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And things are different now. There's new techniques. There's, you know, people are recovering a little bit faster. I actually, my heart stopped twice on the operating table and was in an induced coma for a while. So I had a kind of difficult surgery. I had kept my body so strong to protect my sick lungs that they didn't really realize how bad my lungs were until they opened me up. So it depends on how long. I always tell people, you know, create a foundation first. So I really focused once I got out of the hospital after about 5 weeks of just continuing what I was doing before, walking on the treadmill, lifting weights and stuff to build that foundation. But it really varies, as so does CF. There's different stages of CF, and you're born with a certain, you know, level of CF in your body. So now I'm proud to say I see people with cystic fibrosis growing and running and being active and all those kinds of things with their lungs and keeping them strong. So I feel like somehow I've laid some foundation, and there have been many people that have called me a trailblazer, and I'm very, very proud of that.
Tell me about your family's reaction to all of this from the get-go. I can relate to what you went through in my own life, not so much through transplants, but through being basically, I say labeled legally blind from birth and going through numerous operations. And I know my parents were so frustrated when I went to school because they knew they couldn't protect me from the other kids.
Right.
And so on and so forth. And I learned to run, but for another reason.
Right.
And it wasn't easy for them any more than it was easy for me. So what about your parents, your family, and how they've transitioned over the years to where you are today?
Well, as a mother now, I can honestly say I don't know how my parents did half of the stuff they did, but I believe that the reason why I'm here is because of the foundation that my mother and father laid in. And they always told me a couple of very valuable lessons, and one is that there's always someone sicker than you. And two, really, I mean, there are times where, you know, they would just look at me and say, see that, or whatever. And you know, it did bring me to that point. And it's true. There really is always someone sicker than you are, or someone that's having a worse day than you are. So that was a very solid thing to hear. And then the other thing was that, yes, you have this, but again, dream big, work towards it, and anything is possible. And there are times that my mother would have to close the door. We lived in an apartment complex, and, you know, so there would be kids all over, and we had a basketball court, we had a field to play football and all this stuff. And my mother, we would, you know, be playing out in the front. My mother would literally have to close the door and close the blinds because I would be on the bottom of the pile in whatever games we were playing, and she was so afraid that I would suffocate or whatever. You know, this was at 10, 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But she let me do that. And that's really the key. If you tell a child or someone that they're sick, they're going to believe they're sick. So they did a really great job at letting me know that, yes, I had this obstacle to live with, but I could still do anything that I truly wanted to do in life. And I'm sure there are many times that they questioned that, but I never saw that in them.
Hmm. I have to concur my observations of my parents. I don't know how they did it, not just with me. I had a brother and four other sisters.
Wow.
So, you know, I marvel at that. I'm most appreciative and grateful to my parents for what they did. They raised us, and here we are today, and we're doing some pretty awesome things, and it's quite fun, I have to say, to be able to sit here today with you talking about these things and knowing that, yes, there is a tomorrow, and
right.
And that this is where we are right now, and we're working towards that tomorrow as far as not only keeping ourselves healthy, especially if we're organ donors, but also in terms of encouraging others to keep striving regardless. And you know, I have to say that my first reaction to your comment, your mother's comment actually, about there's always someone sicker than you, it's like, yeah, but I'm still sick. It doesn't make
right.
me healthier.
Right. No, and it's true. And there are times that I guess I probably felt that. But I really, I don't know what it is, but I really never, ever thought that I would die. Ever.
Mm.
I think I was born with some kind of switch in me or something, because the minute that I start getting fearful or whatever, I immediately have a fight that comes up in me. So I don't know if it was instilled in my parents, if it was gifted to me by God, and again, that's another reason why I feel like I really truly have to give back, because I've been so grateful of what I've gotten. But I truly believe that when you come from a place of gratitude of what you have, regardless of the situation you're in, and I know it's not easy all the time, believe me, because I can say the same thing. You know, there are days that I say, why me, or, you know, whatever, but only for a brief second,
mm-hmm.
because my friends that have passed away can't say that, or their families can't call them up so that they can say that. Or, you know, so really, you must be grateful for what you have and then strengthen what you can control.
And I would take it that, as you say, many of your friends have passed. They were also individuals who are waiting for transplants?
I had friends. My very first friend passed away when I was 14. He was a little boy named Joy, who was amazing and taught me so much about life. So I've had a lot of friends that have passed away from cystic fibrosis before there were even transplants available, because I'm really in the system and all that stuff since I was, you know, a young child, 10 years old. So, and then I've lost a lot of friends, yes, waiting for any kind of organ transplant. So,
well,
and then after too, because, you know, we're treating some challenges, and you know, my doctor said to me, you're treating one disease for another, and I just saw it as, well, it's an opportunity to live and breathe and run. So let's just trade up right now. So, you know, I've lost a lot of people, yes.
Yeah, I've heard that kind of concept before about, you know, you have to sacrifice one thing to get another, and I've never looked at it as sacrifice. What
no.
I've looked at it as, I've chosen to go in this direction. How can I sacrifice something I've never had for the things that I do have? This is the path I chose. Period.
Absolutely.
There's no sacrifice. It's just the path I chose.
And we're so blessed to have those paths.
Yeah.
So
it's great fun. It really is. Dottie Lessard is my guest, and this is Tell Me Your Story. Her book is entitled The Seven Letters That Saved My Life, and they spell out the word athlete. She went through the acronym earlier in the program, and you'll either need to pick up a copy of the book or go to the Richard Dugan website and click on the archives page, the radio shows page, and listen to the program again, because this program will be archived up on the website shortly after the broadcast ends. And we encourage you to check out Dottie's website. Dottie, give me that website again.
My website is www.dottielessard.com. DottieLessard.
Okay, DottieLessard.com. You are one of the few, such as myself, who have actually been able to snag and hold on to a .com with our name. I actually did not expect to find Richard Dugan available in a .com. I figured I was going to get a .net, and I don't know why .com. It just, it's tradition or something. I don't
know. It sounds kind of cool. I like it.
So you have other things going on. I mean, you're raising this just cute as a button kid who's going into first grade, as you said, in another few weeks. What else are you doing?
So I am, of course, promoting my book, and I'm very proud of that book, and hopefully that teaching people to have tools to benefit and help empower their own lives. And with the word empower, the other really neat thing I'm doing is I've found a way to give back a little bit more. And again, it comes from my gifts of what I have lived through in my life. And I've created a company called Whole Body Wellbeing with a very good friend of over 18 years. And we excitingly are getting ready to release a protein meal enhancement drink called Empower Pro. And I also have recorded a couple DVDs for a series we're starting called Empowered Living. So the protein is based on what I've learned through trying to stay strong and stay healthy while in the hospital waiting for my transplants, while in the hospital when I was sick with CF, and now being the athlete that I am. So it's really important. Nutrition is such a foundation and a fuel for your body. If we don't take care of our body, like you said, if we don't take care of our health, there's no money in the world that's going to be able to buy that. So by starting this, I believe I'm creating a foundation. And not only for, you know, it's very important for me to help others who are sick or recovering from surgeries, are trying to get their own transplants, but also for anybody. I mean, everyone has to take care of their body.
Yeah, we do. I can attest to the fact that I have in this past year alone had to deal with what I thought was a torn ligament in my knee, the meniscus, on both interior and exterior, inside and outside. In any event, my knee right now, it's never felt better. I have to say that for a while there, I was actually literally walking with a cane and hobbling around the station and home and so forth. And I go see this guy, and he does a CAT scan and does this thing and looks at it and says, well, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, you're not in much pain at all. But if I do this surgery, you're going to be in a lot of pain and recovery for a number of months. Whereas right now, you're doing fine and you're feeling good. So you come to me when it's really hurting again. And I thought, okay, I can do that. And it stopped hurting, and it's been great. And I'm thinking, well, because we touched upon this a little bit in the beginning of the program. I've raised the question, Dottie, why is it that when you cut your skin, that it heals back almost like there was never a cut there? There was never an incision, if you will. But when it comes to the other parts of the human body that are made up of all of the same kinds of cells, why won't they regenerate into healthy cells and rebuild that ailing part into a healthy part? And of course, people say, well, that's what stem cells are about and this and that and the other.
Right.
But I'm thinking, no, I'm not talking about doing that. I'm talking about from the mind aspect.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, I bet that you've had this strong mindset that's helped you heal through this. And I believe that's such a strong and powerful part. And I believe you get that strong mindset again through knowledge. I believe that everyone wants to be healthy or be strong or feel good. I think some of it's fear of people not wanting to ask how, not knowing how, and then kind of being afraid of taking their own action on it. So I commend you for having that strong mindset. And I think that's, again, another solid foundation. But I wish that the body would heal all by itself. And I think that we can control a lot of that, though. I really do believe that. If I believed so many different things that people have said to me in my life, doctors or whatever, as I was in the hospital and stuff, if I let my mind go to where they were going, I truly wouldn't be here. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the process of working on a small little book that I've been working on for almost 10 years now. And for a small little book, if it doesn't come out for another 10 years and I start promoting it, it's like, well, what took you so long? It's so small. But it's about choices, and it's about making the initial choice. And you have to make a choice. And once you've made that choice, then you must surround your total being with all of those elements that support that choice, meaning that you don't watch the television programs, you listen to the radio programs, the music, and put yourself around people that aren't supportive of the choice that you've made. You surround yourself with all of those elements that do, and then you just and you just do it. You just do it.
You just do it. And again, that's exactly
Sorry,
what I did.
Before.
No, it's true. Yeah. Yeah, hey, I'm the Nike girl.
Yes,
so I'm
exactly.
I'm proud to be sponsored by Nike, so you're okay. You're covered there.
Okay.
It's so true. When I was writing this book, and I started a book in 98, I started my life story, and when you say it takes a long time, it really took me this long to find the right way to tell my story that I could really be proud of putting it out there.
But your story isn't over yet. That's what's so strange is you've written your story, but it's not over.
No, my story is far from over. I will say that, and hopefully there'll be a lot more books to come, but it really does come from creating whatever it is that you choose that you want, surrounding yourself with it. When I was sick in the hospital, even at like 12 years old, I figured out if I dressed like an athlete, I would wear my Nike sneakers, my Nike tracksuits. If I dressed like that, people wouldn't look at me in the same way because people would look at you sometimes with pity. And I hated that. And it wasn't like they were meaning to hurt me.
Right.
But they truly felt bad. Here's this girl who has this terminal disease. But I found ways I would dress like the athlete that I wanted to be. That was my kind of like suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured out all these ways. I would hang up pictures in my hospital where I would cover the clock. I would cover the hospital pictures with pictures from Runner's World, the magazine, all this stuff. I created a life for myself that I knew that I was going to have one day.
Yeah.
I had to do what I had to do at that moment, but this is what it was going to be. And I agree, you have to surround yourself with the things that you want, or the things that, the positive things, the positive people, and that will fuel you to go further.
Did you ever have to disassociate with certain people in your life?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's hard because there are people that will suck the life right out of you. And I always give people a chance. I will say that. But that's one of the things you asked me, some of the things that I've learned in my life, and that's one of them. I can't save everyone.
Right. Right.
But I do, will, if people give me the effort, I will meet them 150% of the way. I will give everything I can to them to help them feel better. But they have to, because if people don't make the choice for themselves that they want to change or they want to work at something, there's no medicine, there's no person, there's nothing that can help them do it. They need to want it for themselves. My goal is to get them to find that spark within them to believe they can do it, because I truly believe in the human spirit, and if people believe in themselves that they can do it, then the rest is history.
Dottie Lessard's my guest, and her book is The Seven Letters That Saved My Life. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Stay tuned.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. I may want to get you a man's load right now for the go, no go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the first thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
When it's time to clean your carpets, you should know that some carpet cleaners can leave harmful toxins in your home or office. That's why Wallace Cleaning Company created the four-step cleaning process that uses state-of-the-art equipment and environmentally safe, non-toxic solutions to clean your carpets with your satisfaction guaranteed and your safety in mind. Since 1979, Wallace Cleaning Company has been the Santa Barbara area's premier choice for quick, quiet, efficient, and safe carpet cleaning that dries in 2 hours or less. When it's time to clean your carpets at home or office, it's time to call a name you can trust at a price you can afford. It's time to call 967-1860 to talk to the pros at Wallace Cleaning Company, where no job is too big or too small. Wallace Cleaning Company, 967-1860. Learn more about the affordable four-step cleaning process that cleans your carpets with your safety in mind.
Take to that road
trouble that you know empties out as you go.
New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm sitting here looking at the clock. I'm going, are you kidding me? 3 minutes left in the program, talking here with Donnie Lassard, author of The Seven Letters That Saved My Life. And I have to say, Donnie, that I'm still amazed at how fast this program goes by. And I chuckle only because it's like, what? What do you mean? It's almost over. I produce another program during the week, and the host of the program is always giving me these looks, like stink eye, every time I give her 2 minutes and 1 minute and 30 seconds. It's like, what are you doing with the time? You're stealing it and putting it in your pocket or something. What's going on? It's just amazing. And yet at the same time, you're experiencing that same type of fast motion, especially with this little one that you have.
Yes, I can't believe that he's going into first grade and now he's, you know, trying to take care of Mama. So it's life is such a gift each day, so we have to cherish that day because tomorrow it's gone.
Yeah, and you've sort of answered this question, but I put this to each of my guests at the end of the program. You could be doing a lot of different things. Why this? Why now?
Because I'm still here and because I have something to share of what I've experienced and I certainly have a lot to give back.
Well, we thank you for sharing that here on the program, and we look forward to talking with you again when you have participated in, if the dream is one that you hold dearly, to participate in the 2012 Olympic Games. We hope to see you there on TV, running. Where are those games in 2012?
I think they're in London.
London, yes, I believe you're right. Yeah,
they are in London. That's on one of my goal sheets. So yes, yeah. They're in London, and we'll see what happens each one day at a time. And if that's what I'm meant to do, then I will certainly be there.
And there is no real prohibition to your competing, other than that you have to go through all of the trials and make sure that you know you have the fastest time, that type of situation, as well as that you're healthy and those types of things. So,
yes, and that's a big goal. So we'll see what happens, but I will keep striving.
Great.
Yeah, keep breathing too.
Keep breathing. Breathe. Yeah. That's what. Well,
deep
Donnie.
Breath.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for taking time out of your busy mom schedule to share your time and your story with us. And again, that's Donnie Lassard, and the book is called The Seven Letters That Saved My Life. The website, DonnieLassard.com. We are linked to your website at RichardDugan.com, so it's easy enough to get there. Donnie, thank you once again.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's really been a pleasure.
And I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. The next time I talk to you, it will be post-fishing trip, and hopefully I will have caught one or two, and I'll see what the cats think of the fish. We'll see what see if they care much for ocean fish. Until next Saturday at this same time, I'm Richard Dugan, encouraging you to stay tuned